power of Christ and His and Him alone. This passage we looked at in Ephesians chapter 1 has a whole lot to say about in Him, through Him, through Jesus. And that's why we're here today, because of Jesus. We want to worship Him, hear from Him. But I believe as we meet together, He's already been talking, and as we continue, you'll still hear the Lord. So, what a joy. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll look again at a couple of verses. Find your outline in your bulletin if you haven't done that already. References that I'll be reading are on that, and you can make a note or two along the way as well. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll go down to verse 13 and 14. This whole passage of Scripture talks about the blessing of God and how He's chosen us in Jesus and all kinds of things in these verses prior to these two verses. But notice again, it talks about in Him, in Christ. So in verse 13 of Ephesians 1, it says, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." Now, I'm aware that some translations do verse 14 a little bit different. So, if you follow along and read differently, I'm aware that there is that difference away sometimes of translating verse 14 about being God's possession or being our possession. But I want to use this focus in this passage or this translation as our thinking today. So, I want to live in the assurance I belong to Christ. Live in the assurance that I belong to Christ. It makes all the difference in the world when I recognize and can live in that assurance that I really do belong to Jesus, that I'm His. We'll talk more about that as I go through this passage of Scripture. But I want to remind us, in Him comes up a number of times in Christ. So that's the focus. He's the one we look up to. So as we think about that, living in the assurance of belonging to Christ, this passage talks about some things that help us have that assurance. The first one is, listen to the message of the truth. He began by saying in verse 13, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation." Listening to the message of the truth. I want to suggest that listening to the message of truth means more than hearing it. Listening in many of our lives means paying attention to, trying to comprehend, trying to understand. We all in our lives probably have had other individuals in our lives. I wouldn't pick on husbands and wives too much. But every once in a while, my wife says something to me and then she said, "You didn't listen to me, did you?" I heard it, but I didn't listen. You know what I'm talking about? We do that sometimes with other people. In fact, one of the things that sometimes we encourage couples to do who are having trouble communicating is that when one person speaks, the other one listens and then they repeat back what they heard and the other person says, "Yeah, that's what I meant," or "No, it's not." That's listening. You're getting through. So when he's talking about listening to the message of the truth, the message of the gospel of salvation, that's what he's talking about. I'm going to listen to care, to comprehend what he's saying. The scripture passage I've listed says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built a house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, the winds blew and beat on against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." But he talked about listening. This passage says, this celebration, this blessing came, this assurance came because they listened to the message of the truth. So my prayer is that you'll understand the message of the truth. What is the message he's talking about here? After listening to the message of truth, what? The gospel of your salvation. The message of the truth is that Jesus Christ came, lived in this world as a human being, died on a cross, was buried, rose again, which you sang about already, and ascended to heaven, he's coming back. That's the gospel. That's the good news in a nutshell. And so we start there with that believing the message, listening to that message, paying attention to it, hearing it. Sometimes when you talk about Jesus, do you ever have anybody say, "I don't want to hear it"? Sometimes they tell you they don't want to hear it. So if you're going to know Jesus and you're going to have this wonderful assurance, you start by listening, being willing to pay attention to, at least to hear, to receive what God is saying. Now, the second part of that is, in Him also after listening. By the way, do we ever have to listen after we're saved? Now, we talk about listening to the gospel of the truth, but as Christians, God still talks to us, right? He didn't get us saved and then quit. I need to be opening to hear God talk to me all the time as I open the Scriptures and as I pray and go through life. I'm going to listen to the message of the truth because God has more truth to share with us than we have gotten yet. There's truth we know and we understand, but I think we'd all agree there's a whole lot yet about Jesus I still don't know and I still don't understand. So I need to have open ears to keep on looking, keep on listening, keeping on learning about Jesus and who He is and what He is. We get insights, we get understanding in Bible study groups. People bring up things. He said, well, I never thought about that. And we're open. So I want to be a person who's listening to the message of the truth all the time. And the more I can hear it, the better I can discern when it's not the message of the truth. Because there is around us a false message. But I want to hear the message of the truth about who Jesus is and why He came. So I want to be a person who's listening for God to speak. I believe as I open the Bible and read it, God wants to communicate with me. I believe as I pray, God wants to communicate with me. I believe as I'm thinking about Him throughout the day, God wants to bring to my mind and my attention truth and understanding about Him. So I want to be one of those who's listening to the truth. The second part of that is, He said, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of salvation, having also believed. So the second thing is, I believe the message. I believe the good news, the message of Jesus. I accept that as being true. What do I need to know if the message is true or not? What do I need to know if the message I'm hearing is true or not? Where are you going to go? You're going to go to this book. And you're going to look at it, what it says about it. And you're going to study it and see, is this true or not? Now, we all recognize that that means not only picking out one verse, but it means looking at sections of Scripture, sections of the Bible, and comparing Bible, the Scripture with Scripture, which we've all agreed on, I think, that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. And so you check it out. But I believe the message. I check it out, and I hear it, and I believe it. I accept it as being true. So I think I don't have to convince any of you who are here today. You're here because you believe the message is true. You believe the Bible's true. And I trust that's true of every one of us who are here. But how do I know I believed it or not? Let me read the Scripture passage first that's under that section on your outline. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He said, He gave us the right to become children of God, those who believe, who trust, who yield to. The word believe in Scripture means when I come to Jesus, I submit my life to Him. I yield to Him. I ask Him to be my Lord. I surrender to His plan and His purpose. But also as a Christian, I also need to believe what God says. So how do I know whether I'm believing or not? I want to go back up to the verse that I read earlier, the passage in under the first part about hearing. Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. How do I know I believe it? When I do it. When I begin to let it operate in my life. When I submit my life to it. So He said, when I was sealed with the Spirit, which He talks about later, but he talked about, I heard the message and I believed it because I believed the message. That is, I put it into my life. I trusted Him as Savior. I'm seeking to follow Him. I'm trying to carry out the truth that God says. I'm putting the Bible into practice in my life day after day. And I'm learning to do it better and better and better. Because we're still learning how to do this. None of us gets it fully. We're still learning. And my prayer is that we'll always learn to the day we die. And then when God opens and reveals the truth to us, we'll really learn. But in the meantime, I want to be learning all I can. I want to be opening to believe the message and to be putting into practice. Now, as I think about it, would you say that you're doing everything you know the Bible says you ought to be doing? So there's room for improvement, isn't there? It's room for me to say I believe it because I need to put it into practice. Now, the good news is He doesn't ask you to do it all by yourself. Aren't you glad for that? He's given us His Holy Spirit. If we're a Christian, if we believe in Jesus, He's given us His Holy Spirit, and He'll help us begin to do what we need to do. Now, when do we do that? The problem sometimes is I know what I need to do, and I know what He wants, and I will say to Him, Lord, one of these days I'll get around to doing that. Is that still disobedience? Still disobedience. So the Scripture says to know what to do and not do it is sin. And so the challenge to me is to say, I believe it, and therefore because I believe the message and I believe Jesus, I can have this assurance that I belong to Christ. So He said, in Him, after hearing or listening to the message and believing it, then we were sealed with the Spirit of promise. So let's look at that section. As a part of this assurance, I want to believe that I am sealed by Holy Spirit. That's the third part on your outline. Believe I am sealed by Holy Spirit. In verse 13, he talks about we heard, we listened, we believed, and we're sealed in Him, in Christ, with Holy Spirit of promise. I am sealed in Christ. The Scripture on your notes says, now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us a Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. What does that mean? To me, this is very important for us to live in assurance, to know that I am sealed. Notice it said, this translation at least said, I am sealed in Him, in Christ, with the ministry or the gift of Holy Spirit. If you become a believer in Jesus, you receive Jesus, Holy Spirit also comes to live within you at that point. Now, there are other understandings about that, but as I read Scripture, the Bible indicates if you don't have Holy Spirit, you don't have Jesus. So, when I believe in Him, I become a Holy Spirit interest. But notice what He said. He seals us. There are other passages that talk about this. He sealed us by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. What that means is I belong to God, and God seals me through the gift. So if I have Holy Spirit in my life, I have Jesus in my life, and I have Holy Spirit in my life, I am identified with Christ. There's several things to think about sealing when you seal something. One of the ways of sealing was when you put a seal on something, you do it as a mark of ownership. This is mine. And so when God puts a mark on us, He says, you're mine. I heard somebody comment a while ago or say that as I was thinking about it. In the Western world, when you want to identify cattle as belonging to the right person, what do you put on it? You put a brand on it, a mark on it that says, this one belongs to me. That belongs to this ranch. Well, Holy Spirit is God's mark on us to say, this one belongs to me. It's sealed. It also means I'm secure in Christ that seal cannot be broken because God made it through the gift of Holy Spirit. Because He will never remove Holy Spirit from us. I need to believe that I'm sealed. Another way of thinking about a seal, it's authentic. If something's sealed and we know it's sealed, when you sign a document, you put a seal on it and say, this is genuine. This is authentic. This is real. So we think about that. So you as a believer in Christ are sealed by the Spirit of God. If you have Holy Spirit in you. Because Holy Spirit in you will never leave you. He has promised that. Holy Spirit in you will never leave you. To me, if I know that, well, better than that, since I believe that, I can live with assurance. I can live with victory in my Christian life. We'll talk about some things about that assurance as I go. But he talked about I'm sealed with the Spirit of promise. By the way, God promised that Holy Spirit to the others in the Old Testament, but he also promised it to the disciples. You remember when he ascended to heaven? Jesus said, I'm going to send what? Holy Spirit on you. And he came on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit has been here ever since in believers and upon believers. I'm marked out, I'm sealed. Now, having that, I want to think about some ways I live assured, knowing that I belong to him. First of all, live assured of my inheritance. He said he's given us a pledge of our inheritance in verse 14. The scripture passage says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. It is Lord Christ whom you serve. Work for the Lord, knowing from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It's yours. Last week I talked about this inheritance is reserved for us in heaven, and 1 Peter talked about that. What does that do? The reward of your inheritance. Your inheritance is what? Basically, it's Jesus. Everything else is secondary. My reward in heaven is to see Jesus. Now, I know we talk about going to heaven, seeing loved ones and friends, and I look forward to that. But the most important reward is Jesus. The most important inheritance is who he is and what he does. But I want to live assured that that's going to happen. Do you know for sure that when you leave here, you're going to go to be with Jesus? Do you know that for sure in your heart? Because of the first part that I taught about, if you know, you heard the message of the truth, you have believed the message, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, by His Spirit in you, and that means you're going to go home to be with Jesus when you leave this world. We're about a bigger picture than just this life here in the world. Now, when I know that, when I have this reward of inheritance, and I live assured of that, that gives me a sense of peace. Give me a sense of peace that I belong to Christ. He has claimed me as his own, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But right now, just to know that brings peace. It also frees me to serve and to fulfill his mission because I know that's coming. It also means I can have confidence in this world about serving and what I'm about. This reward of the inheritance, I'm assured that my inheritance is coming. And so I say, Lord, thank you for the freedom that gives me. A man by the name of Juan Carlos Ortiz talked to a trapeze artist. The trapeze artist talked about that they had a net underneath the trapeze. He said, it gives me a whole lot more freedom because I know that if I fall, I'm going to be safe. I'm not going to hurt myself. He said, because I know that security, he said, I do some flips on the trapeze line. He said, one time I did three of them in a row because I felt safe underneath. What I'm saying is because I'm safe in Jesus, I can serve him. I can go full bore. I can turn loose. I can serve him. I can yield to him. I can cooperate with him because I know I'm secure in Jesus. I can go for it as a Christian. I can seek to be everything he wants me to be. Because I have this assurance that I belong to him and that inheritance is mine, and I look forward to that. On the other side of your notes, let me continue thinking that thought about belonging to Jesus. Again, depending on your translation, but this talks about we live as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. I want to suggest I live assured that I belong to Christ. I live assured I belong to Christ. Let me read the scripture passages. But you are a chosen race. Now, who's this referring to? Can this be true of all of us who are believers in Christ? Can this passage refer to you if you're a child of God? Okay. Let me read it. We know it probably. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Does that do anything for you? Does that give you any assurance that I belong to Jesus. He says, Scripture says, I'm a chosen race. I'm a part of His royal priesthood. I'm a people that belongs to God, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. I pray that God would make this nation more holy too, while I'm thinking about that, but anyway. I belong to Him. He has marked me out. I can live with assurance that I belong to Christ, and therefore I can serve Him more fully. Let me read the other scripture passage. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. Now, with the assurance that I belong to Christ, then I can live like I belong to Christ. We've commented, I have, others have, that if the world in general lives like the lost world and they're lost people and they live lost like lost people, that's normal. We can't expect unbelievers, lost people, to live like Christians. They don't know Jesus. They can't. But as a Christian, as people who are chosen, as people who are part of a royal priesthood, as a people who are part of a holy nation, as a people who belong to God, does God expect a different lifestyle from you and I? Does He expect a different pattern of thinking, a different way of relating to people around us? He says, we are the people of God. We had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. Aren't you glad for mercy? Thank you, Lord, for mercy every day that extends to us over and over again. But we belong to Christ. We've received mercy. And I want you to notice the second passage that I read, talking about salvation to all men. That means all who believe in Jesus, by the way. But He said to us, instructing ungodliness and worldly desires. So if I belong to Christ, I say, God, help me to get rid of worldly desires. Now, do you ever have those? Christians don't ever have worldly desires, right? I wish that were true. I wish that were true. But we still live in a human body, in a fleshly body that can want stuff that God didn't want us to want. So because I belong to Jesus and I realize I'm desiring something that's not pleasing to Him, I say, God, help me get rid of this worldly desire. To identify it for what it is, it's a desire of the flesh, not from God, and ask Him, because I belong to Jesus, I want to get rid of those worldly desires and instead to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. I want to be a person whose life demonstrates the character of God and the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the forgiveness of God, all those things, because I belong to Him. He said He gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify Him for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds, eager to do good. So when I live assured I belong to Jesus, I can live like that. I can live holy, I can live godly, I can live righteously. Because I have this assurance that I belong to Christ, and I'm grateful for it. So I can be pleasing to Him. See, one of my desires, I think, when I realize God loves me and God claims me and I'm His possession, I want to please Him. He's done all that for me. I want to do something to make Him happy. Because He's done so much for me already. Every one of us who's been born again has more done for us than we deserved. But beyond that, He saved us. And He's added and added and added. Has He not added to your life abundance and abundance, all kinds of good blessings and all kinds of blessings since you became a believer? He's added all those things to your life. And so because I belong to Him, I want to serve Him. So I thank God for that assurance, though, that I belong to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to know you belong to Jesus forever? That you'll always belong to Him, no matter what. Now, I want to behave like I belong to Him. But the good news is, the Bible says, we're His forever. So I can live with the freedom of knowing that and go on to serve Him. Another aspect to this is live assured that Christ will claim me. Live assured that Christ will claim me. In verse 14, he talked about Holy Spirit giving a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's possession. Now, God says we belong to Him. What I'm thinking as I read this is, I want to live assured that Christ will claim me. Two passages of Scripture I've listed there, but one of them, let me read. It says, "There, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a promise of Jesus to the disciples, but I believe it's a promise to all of us who know Him. Has He gone to prepare a place? Is He doing that at this point? My understanding is He's doing that. He says, if I prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. As I read this passage, He said, He sealed us in the Spirit of God with assurance that one day Jesus is going to come back to this world and claim us. There's a difference of opinion as to when that's going to happen, but it doesn't matter. It's going to happen. However, He puts it together when He comes. Jesus said, if I go and He's gone, if I prepare a place for you and He's doing that, I am going to come again. And I am going to receive you to myself. I realize that when we die physically, we go to be with Jesus. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I want to live with assurance. And no matter what happens, whatever happens in this world, Jesus Christ still rules. Jesus Christ still reigns. Jesus Christ is going to come and claim His own. Jesus Christ is going to bring an end to this world. Jesus Christ is the ruler, and He will always rule. And when I belong to Him, I'm assured that He's going to come and take me with Him. The Bible talks about the bodily resurrection, us getting a new body in 1 Corinthians 15 and other passages, but we're going to get that. I thought about that, and I've mentioned it other times at services and cemeteries, but I've been thinking about it lately because we've been in cemeteries lately. But I was standing there thinking the other day as we were at a memorial service, what would it be like to be standing in the cemetery when Jesus comes? Think about it. If you're standing in seminary when Jesus comes, and the Bible says we're going to resurrect, can you imagine? All over this, all the cemeteries, the people that know Jesus are going to pop out of those graves with a resurrected body. Not the old one, praise the Lord, but with a new one. It just sort of crossed my mind. What a day that would be like. He's going to come and claim me with a new resurrected body. Because I have that assurance. It's going to happen. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what they put on top of me or whatever kind of casket or concrete vault. It doesn't matter. I'm going to rise. But secondly, I also believe that when I read this passage, I believe, and this, I can't give you a scripture verse particularly, but when Jesus said, I'll come and receive you to my conviction is, that each of us, when we come to the end of life here on earth, Jesus walks into wherever we are. And I see Him in my mind taking the spirit, the soul, the very essence of our being and saying, come on, your place is ready. And I want you to come and go with me. And He takes our soul and our spirit to be with Him right then and there. I have that assurance. And when that He who redeemed me is going to claim me. He is going to claim me. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But He's going to claim me. This one's mine. This one's mine. This one's mine. Folks, that frees us to live fully for Jesus. The other passage that I listed on your notes is, therefore being always of good courage and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We have good courage, I say, and prefer to be absent from the body and be at home with the Lord. To me, that says, when I leave this body, I'm going home to be with Jesus. That's only for those who've done the first part, who believed, heard the message and believed it, received it, but there is coming that day with assurance. So I'm confident in my future. Now, we talked about Holy Spirit being the down payment, if you will, on us. Some translations use the word down payment instead of the seal. When you make a down payment on something, some translations use the word earnest on something. For instance, if you're going to buy a house, and you commit to buy the house, you put some money down, right? You put whatever, $1,000, $2,000, whatever they require. While you do that, you're saying about that money that you're going to come and finish the project. You come and finish the deal. You're going to buy the house. If you don't come through, what happens to the money that you put down? Generally, you lose it. Think with me for a minute. Since Holy Spirit is a down payment for our life and our soul that God's put down, if He doesn't come back and get us, it means He's going to lose what He put down. And He's not going to do that. Think about it. This sealing of God's Holy Spirit in us assures us that He's sure not going to leave Holy Spirit behind. We have that assurance because of Him. We walk with Him. We have that confidence. So we live with assurance that Christ is going to claim me. So therefore, I can live with victory today. I can serve today. I can be what He wants me to be today. A man by the name of Charles Ellis says that many times he can't watch sporting events that he likes, so he records them. And then later he comes back to watch them. But he said, instead of going back to the beginning, I watch the end. And he said, some people have says, well, that's no fun. I mean, you know the outcome. He said, no, because if my team lost, I just put the recording away. I don't even watch it. But if my team won, he said, I go and get my snacks, and I get my refreshments, and I sit down in a chair, and I start the beginning, and I watch the whole game. And said, every time it looks like my team's losing, I say, uh-huh, but you don't know the end yet. Every time it looks like something's going to happen, but then he reminded us, because I know the end, no matter what's happening in between, I can say, I'm on the child of God, I'm on the right track, I'm going to heaven, and I can rejoice because I know the outcome of my life, and I know the outcome of this world, and I know the outcome of this risen Christ who is ruling and reigning is coming, and I'm a part of that because I'm in Jesus. So I can live with assurance that He will claim me, and I can live with a sense of victory and purpose and delight because I know He's coming to get me. What a wonderful gift. I want to serve Him. I want to love Him. I want to obey Him because when I think of all that. So the last thing on your notes. Live assured that I will glorify God. Because these two verses end with this thing. He says He redeems us. He's a pledge of our inheritance. To the redemption of His possession. To the praise of His glory. It's praise to God. It's honor to Him. It's not to us. I don't have any glory about it. It's all He did all this and He's the one doing it. And so I want to live assured that I will glorify God. He said, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless unto the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You see, when I allow all this to begin to operate in my life, and I live the kind of life that this enables me to live, the result is glorifying and praising to God. Because the human level will not allow us to live like this. If you face this world without Jesus and God in it, you're going to be in despair. You're going to be discouraged. But living with the understanding that Jesus Christ has sealed you and through the Holy Spirit in you, and having that means I can live in a victorious way that will honor and glorify God, and people will have to know the only way you can do this is because Christ is in you. Because He's there. And you bring glory to Him because of the way you live. He said in this passage, He said He wants us to approve things that are excellent. We choose things that are good and excellent and good quality. We're sincere. We live blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness. When I walk in this understanding, I glorify God. If I go around down the dumps and half-hearted and defeated, I don't glorify God. When I walk in the victory of Christ and try to live in that victory, and I try to live out the kind of lifestyle that portrays, I bring glory to God. Nobody wants a down-in-the-mouth Christian. But they do want one who's knowing that this, I'm a child of God, I'm trying to live that way, He lives in me, I belong to Him, I'm assured of that, and I live in the assurance that I belong to Christ and what that means and the implication of that. And as we live out in the fullness of that life, other people are going to say, what in the world's going on with you? Some of them will criticize you perhaps, but some of them want to know, what in the world have you got? What did you get there? What caused you to do? And you're going to have to tell them, it's Jesus. It's yielding to Jesus. It's His good news. It's His presence. And my prayer is that we'll say to other people, you can belong to Him too. Aren't you glad that belonging to Jesus is not exclusive? Belonging to Jesus is anybody who will receive Him. Anybody who will listen and believe, which He talked about in verse 13, can come to be a one who belongs to Jesus too. Jesus doesn't leave anybody out who's willing to come. Now, if you don't belong to Jesus, it's your fault. You choose not to receive Him. You choose to go your own way. And if you die in this and go to hell without Jesus, it's because you chose to do so. He's done everything He can. He died on the cross. He sent the Word. He sent the Savior. He sent Christians. He sent the message of the Spirit. And if you ignore all of that, you go in spite of all that. So don't blame God if you don't go to heaven. Because He's given us His Word and His message. And so my desire is to say, Lord, I want to leave here today living in the victory of Jesus. If we sang a song, Victory in Jesus, we need to leave here understanding, I can live victorious in Jesus. I can be godly. I can live righteous. I can do what I need to do. And anything I read in Scripture that I ought to do, God will help me do. And I can do it by His grace. I can glorify God with my lifestyle. And may God help us to tell other people, you can have it too. He is there for you. He is there if you'll believe Him. And may God help us stir our hearts, my heart and yours, that more and more we'll tell people how wonderful it is to belong to Jesus. So my prayer is that today, if you don't know Him, you'll listen, you'll believe, and receive Him and begin to live this victorious life. You can have that kind of assurance because of God's Word. Not because I said it, but because God's Word says it. And I'm glad that He gives me the seal of the Holy Spirit that assures me it's a down payment. He's going to come and get me. I belong to Him forever. And you can have that too. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Your grace. Thank You for what You do in our lives. Thank You for what You've done in Christ. Help us to understand that better. Then, Lord, to live that out every day with the kind of lifestyle, the kind of love, the kind of grace, the kind of honesty and holiness, all those things that portrays You. Lord, for those that may be present today without Jesus, may this be the day when they take Him up on His offer and become a child of God by receiving Jesus. Have Your way in all our hearts, Lord. You know if there are things that are in our life that need to be changed, altered in some way, we pray that today will be that day when we say, yes, Lord, change this in my life. Leave this out. Add this to my life, whatever it is. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. I thank You, Holy Spirit, for talking to us because I know You're here. And I commit my life to listen to You. And may all the rest of us listen as well. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.